I know the one who sees my sorrow, who calms my heart and clothes my shame. I know the one who holds tomorrow, who hears my prayer and heals my pain. He is my fortress, he's my father, my freedom, my master, my forgiver and friend. For when he died on Calvary, he won my victory, and now in him I live eternally. So I will love him and trust him and serve him, the one who first loved me. The one who conquers darkness, the source of light and truth and grace. I know the fount of all forgiveness, who pours that light through saving grace. He is my fortress, he's my father, my freedom, my master, my forgiver.
Open your Bibles, please, with me to Matthew chapter 28 to start with. Matthew chapter 28. We were down south not too long ago, and we had several come up after a service and say, "Boy, do you speak fast." I said, "Well, I'm from the north. It's cold up north. You don't have time to just stand around and talk." We talk fast and get in where it's warm. But it's been good. It's been good traveling, been able to pass out a lot of tracts, been able to witness to a lot of people. It's been encouraging, been good to see churches that are still faithfully serving, preaching the gospel, reaching out, and what a blessing it is, again, to be with you all and to hear and to see what the work is still going forth. And boy, keep up the good work. It's always encouraging to come off the field to see that the churches are still where they're at, doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we're in this mission together. Amen. The mission is a great mission. It's great because first He's great, the one that gave it to us. Amen. He said, is here in verse 18. He says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The one that told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations is the one that said, "I have all power in heaven and in earth." And boy, what a blessing it is to know that we serve an all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent God. Amen? Yes. Wherever you go on this planet, you're never alone. What a blessing that is. On the mission field, when you're alone, you're not alone. Amen? He's always there by your side. And He's always by your side. You're never, never alone. Never let the devil think that you're all by yourself. Everybody's forgotten about you. God has forgotten about you. If he didn't, you wouldn't have the problems. And he'll give you a lot of different things and try to get you to doubt the love of the Father and our love of our Lord Jesus Christ. But never, never allow him to do that. Say, get thee behind me, Satan. My God told me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He is always with me. It's great because He's great. It's also great because it is a great mission. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, 19 and 20, a lot of times it's known as the Great Commission or the great mission that our Savior has given us to do. And so often we forget about that this is the mission. This is what we're supposed to be doing until He comes back. We can get so busy in life, and it is easy to get busy in life and moving and working and school and university and classes, and we can get so busy doing a lot of things but forget about the main thing. And that's the mission. The mission is well, those that were in the... How many military do we have here tonight? You've been in the military? Okay, help me out. If you were given a command in the military, were you able to argue? Were you able to kind of make sense first, and then you say, okay, I'll do it because I understand this, or did you just do the command? Yeah, your job was to just do what you're told. I mean, the command is to do this, the mission is to do this, and so focus on the mission and fulfill the mission. That's your focus. Boy, it's so good for us, and I hope it's a reminder. I think everybody here tonight would say, I understand. I've heard the Great Commission. I've read this chapter. I've read these verses. I know what God wants us to do. But sometimes it's good for us just to refresh, isn't it? To get back to the basics, get back to focused on the mission. The mission is that we would go into all the world and preach the gospel. It, not just America. But on all of these different countries, and what is the blessing? I hope you take time, church, and you go back, and as you go through the doors, and you see all the different missionary letters and the different fields. I hope that it never just gets old to you, or you just walk by never thinking about it. That you're walking by millions and millions and millions of people that you're involved in reaching the gospel with, and never. I hope that you never just walk by them, not even thinking about them. It should be that we say, boy, as we look at me, you skim and you say, oh, I know that man. Oh, God bless that man this morning. And his family, protect him, use him. And just pray that you'd never forget, because the mission is not just here, but it's also around the world. But the mission is great because He's great. It is great because it is a great mission. God wants everybody to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And on our planet right now, there's over 7 billion people that Christ wants them to know the gospel and to hear the gospel. And it's our job to get it to them. It's our job to get it to them. But never forget about, okay, I give to missions, and boy, those missionaries, I hope they're doing their job over there, that we would not forget about what we're supposed to be doing here. Amen? The gospel is supposed to be preached by all of us Christians. We're all supposed to be proclaiming the good news to everybody around us. It'd be hypocritical of us to say, missionary, you're doing your job over there, and they're supposed to be doing their job over there. And it's not just the job. It's, man, they get to work with the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, on a mission field in a different language and a different culture, but to share the good news to them. Yeah, they're supposed to be doing that, but we're all supposed to be doing that. We're all supposed to be doing that. And I came back with my wife. She likes McDonald's lattes. I don't know if you like their coffee, but she likes their coffee. And so we'll drive through there. And I remember when we first got back, we went through the drive-thru, and you know the two windows, you pay at the first one, and the second one you get your latte, and then we're back on the road again. It's pretty handy. It's pretty nice. And they're all over the place. But I remember the first one we went through, and we got back on the road, and it's like the Lord was knocking my heart and said, hey, you just passed two people that you could have told about me. And you didn't even think about it. And I said, you're right. And I am so sorry. We never go through a McDonald's anymore, and ever since that moment, without at least giving them a track or telling them of Jesus Christ. They may reject it, but then you get in there, hey, Jesus loves you and died for you. He wants to give you everlasting life. First window, when we pay, they get a track. The next window, they get a track too. We're supposed to be doing that to wherever we're going. Amen? We went through a Culver's not too long ago, and I gave, again, the two windows, and I forgot my wife wanted some chicken tenders, and so I pulled in the parking lot, ran in. Well, the guy that ordered from me was not the lady that was at the window. Well, I gave her a track, and you know where she put it? You know where they get the food from up top, and they put it on the little shelf, like right here, the counter? And that track was laying right there in the middle. And that guy that waited for me, I gave my order, he turned around and he went over there and he started reading that track. Got to the end of it and read the rest of it. You never know when you give somebody a track, where that track's going to go. God wants to reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And what a great opportunity it is to work with Him. It's great because He's great. It's also great because it is a great mission. Do you know there's 53 million people that die every year? 53 million people die every year. That's a lot of people. That's like the whole country of Ukraine next year not being here. I mean, that's a lot of people. And you know who died and knows every one of them? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He wanted, and He wants every one of them to know about Him. They say there's more being born than dying. That means, folks, we have a lot of work to do. And you know what? We can do it if we all get busy. We can all do something. You say, well, I'm an older person and I can't get out and do like everybody else. But you can get involved somewhere. We can all get involved doing something. We have a lady, her name's Ludmila, in our church. She's 78 years old. She's legally blind. She can see peripheral. And she came up, she goes, Pastor, I can't go out passing out tracks and going out where you guys are going up. But I want to get involved. I want to do something. I want to get involved in the mission. She says, find something for me to do. And so we began to think about it. How can she get involved? Well, we have a pretty ministry. And I asked her, can you count to 50? She goes, well, of course I can. I said, okay, sit right here. And we gave her a banana box full of tracks, chick tracks, and they're bound in 50s. So she counts out 50, puts a rubber band, sets it aside, counts out another 50, puts a rubber band, sets it aside. And she does thousands and thousands and thousands of tracks. You say, well, that's, you know, what is that? What do you mean? She's part of the mission? Well, of course. Where are those tracks going? Those tracks are going to different cities, different countries. And then they're from those missionaries and Christians are being sent out to all these different... She's having a part in the mission. See, everybody can get involved. It's do we want to get involved? And we should want to get involved because this is what He said for us to do. The command was given when He left. This is what I want you to do. And lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He wants us to do it until He comes back. The command has not changed. Military, men, you know, ladies, you know, when the command was given, you did it until it was completed or done or until they changed the command. Well, the command of Christ has not changed. He didn't say do this for 100 years, 1,000 years, and then just wait. No, He said, I want you to be doing this until I come back. What is that? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. That's the mission. And that's what we need to all get involved in that. You say, well, how can I get involved? Tell people of Jesus Christ. Pass out tracts. I was down in Peoria, Illinois, a couple months ago. My wife has a lot of allergies, and so I went through you have to go through all of the ingredients. And so I was going through what she can eat, and oh, she can't have that. And I was going through, and this police officer walked by. And the Lord said, give him a tract. I said, okay. I grabbed a tract out, and I went up to him. I said, officer, thank you for your service, risking your life, protecting our community and us. And I want to tell you thank you for that. But also I want you to give you this. This is a track about Jesus Christ and what He did for you. And He loves you very much. Would you read it? He took it and put it in his pocket, turned around and walked away. I turned around and walked away and went, yes. Why? I just did what God told me to do. I don't know about you. I get excited about that. When He says do something and I do it, I mean, I just did what the Creator of the universe told me to do this and I did it. Boy, that's awesome. I got to work with Him. He wanted that person to get a track and I got the track to him. I was used by God. Well, I got to the cashier, paid for my food, went to pick up my bags to go, and you know who came up behind me? That police officer. You know what he had? A cart full of food. You know what God said to do? Buy his food for him. I said, Lord, you see he has a lot of food there. I mean, that's not $10 or $20. That's a lot. Are you sure? Okay. Told the cashier, I said, I'm going to buy his food for him. She says, what? I said, I'm going to buy his food. I'm going to pay for it. Okay. And she put everything through what he went to give, and I gave him her my card, and she swiped it, and he looked at me, and he goes, why would you do that? I said, I'm a Christian, and I believe the Lord would have me to do that. Just want to tell you thank you again. And he just looked at me really strange. So I grabbed my food and my bags, and I began to walk out, and he came running up. He goes, wait a second. He says, what is this? He's holding that track. I said, that's a track about Jesus Christ. I'm a missionary in Ukraine. I'm going to be at Abreville Baptist Church, and but I tell people in Ukraine about Jesus Christ, and God led me to He wants you to know about Jesus Christ, and that's what that's about. He says, I've been in the police force for 8 years, and nobody has ever done that for me before. And he says, I will read this. I said, thank you, because he loves you very much. And he walked away. I turned around and I began to cry. You know why? Because I realized how many times I had missed working with God. I'd missed. When he said, do this, and that's too expensive. No, I can't. I can't afford that. And I missed working with him. I wonder how many times we miss when he says, do this and do that. We make excuses and I can't afford that. I don't have time for that. Well, what will they think? And, you know, what if they laugh at me? And we miss out working with him. It's a great mission. Why? Because he's great. It's a great mission. There's a lot of people that need to know. And it's also great because one day we will stand before him and give an account how we lived our lives. And I want to work with God. I want him to be able to use me to get the word of God out and to fulfill the mission he wants. Why? Because I don't want him to do it in spite of me. See, God's a great God. He's going to reach Ukraine with the gospel, with or without me. But I want it to be with me. Amen? I want him to use me. I want to work with him. I don't want him to do it in spite of me. Because that's not good for me. Because one day I'm going to stand before him, every one of us will, and give an account. And we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, servant is one who obeys the master, his Lord. And if I'm not, I won't hear it. But I want to hear it. In Russian we have a saying, "Khatet nivredna," which means to want is just to want. I can want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but I will never hear that if I don't live it today. So Lord, help me. Help me. Use me. Like she's saying, I want to trust him and I want to serve him for all he's done for me. Don't we sing the song? After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live completely for him? After all he's done for me. What a mission he's given us to do. Boy, show him that you love him. He says, if you love me, what did he say? Keep my commandments. I've given you something to do. I want you to do this for me. I've chosen to use you. I want to use you to reach the world with the gospel. That's awesome. The Almighty God chose to use man. The ones he saved and cleansed and justified, he said, now I want to use you to tell other people. It's great. It's a great mission. And can I tell you really quick, you can answer the call tonight in fulfilling the mission. You say, what do you mean by answering the call to fulfill the mission? First, it's the you can answer the call from above. Call from above, what I mean by that is 2 Peter 3:9. We're not going to turn there, but he says, Jesus said through Peter, he says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The call from above, you can answer that call tonight by going out and telling people of Jesus Christ. You can't tell the wrong person. Why? Because he wants to save everyone. Isn't that great? I mean, you don't have to think, does God want him to be saved or not? Should I tell him? Does God want me to tell that? He wants everybody to know. It doesn't matter what color, what race, what culture, what language. He wants everybody to know. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his call tonight. Oh, that you would go and tell somebody. And you could answer that call tonight. The call from above. I'm not willing that any should perish. Go tell somebody. You have a neighbor, you have a friend, you have a person you work with, study with, cashier, policeman. You can tell somebody. Everyone can tell somebody tonight. On your way home, stop by a gas station. Stop by a fast food place. Kids say, yes. No, you can tell. You can tell people all around us. We come in contact with people all the time, every day. If every one of us tomorrow would tell one person, that means there would be 100 people tomorrow. And if one more the next day, by the end of the week, 700. End of the month, 2,800. The end of the year, you do the mathematics. But that's a lot of people. If we would just, and we can all tell more than one, two and three and five. But what if all of us told five people tomorrow? You said five people, that's a, really, it's not a lot. We pass so many people every day. It just takes us time to stop and say, hey, would you read this? It's a track about Jesus Christ. Has anyone ever told you, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Do you know for sure? I was able to help a young man came this afternoon. It was raining. He came in, asked for a ride home. I took him home this afternoon on the way home. And I asked him, who are you? And he says he's from Alabama. And he's a young boy. And I said, has anybody ever told you about Jesus Christ? He says, no, I don't know about him. I said, do you not know anything? And he said, I don't know anything about him. In America. So I was able to, from the beginning, and started to tell him about Jesus Christ and who he was and what he did and how he loves him and how he wants to die, he died for him and he wants to save you and we're all sinners. And he says, okay, I'll visit. Boy, I'm gonna pray for him now. And he'll come and you'll be able to continue that and sharing with him. See, we all come in contact with people every day. It's how we're going to use those opportunities to tell people of Jesus Christ and fulfill the mission. Answer the call from above. Answer the call from below. You say, what is the call from below? Look at Luke chapter 16 really quick with me. As you turn there, I'm gonna jump right in and read it from verses 27, 28. It's talking about Lazarus and the rich man. Both died. Lazarus in hell. Remember, he cried from hell in torment. Wanted just the tip of his finger in the water. He would touch his tongue. That's all he wanted. But then that couldn't happen. Then he wanted, there's no way out. And then he said in 27:20, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. There's calls being called out tonight from below our feet in hell. People crying out, saying, oh, that you'd send somebody to my relatives, my neighbor, my mother, my father, my aunt, my uncle, my brothers. I have five brothers. This man, it was in hell, and he was, oh, send them back to tell my brother so they wouldn't come to this place. It used to tear me up. My dad, when he was the last one in our family to be saved. I'm in 9 of 10 kids. And we prayed for dad for 11 years. And he would kind of joke with us. And he'd say, well, I'm just going to have a party time with all my friends in hell. We're just going to party for eternity. And he was kind of joking about it, but it just tore my heart up because I knew truth. And I knew what God had said. And there's no time of party. And there's no kind of, we're going to have a good time. It's torment and gnashing of teeth and torment forever and ever and ever and ever. And the request of everyone that from down there is, oh, send somebody to my loved ones so they wouldn't come to this place. There's a cry from below tonight that your neighbor, your friend, maybe a relative is crying, oh, that they would tell my loved one so they wouldn't come to this place. You can answer that call tonight from above, from below. Also, there's a call from without in John chapter 7, John chapter 5, verse 7. It says here real quick, it says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Remember, this man had had an infirmity for 38 years. He was there by the pool. He waited for that water to be turning, and he'd always get late. And his request, he says, I have no man. I have no man. I need help. Reminds me of the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, doesn't it? Philip came up to his chariot, remember, and he's reading Isaiah, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, how can I accept someone? Help me. You know, there's a lot of people, there's a call from without tonight, a lot of people searching. He said, well, I don't know of anybody that is... No, there's a lot of people searching. They have problems. Relatives pass away. And they're searching. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity, but I sure would like to know, but I don't have anybody to tell me. And you can answer that call. Just a couple weeks ago, I had a friend of our family was up in Duluth, Minnesota. She was dying. She was in hospice. I knew all of her kids, and I went there and was able to encourage and read some scripture with them, and their youngest boy was going around the room asking, you know, do you know for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Have you done that? Have you accepted Christ? And the daughter said yes, and it got to him, and he said, well, I think so. And he just went through it and didn't want to talk about it, and so I began to pray. Went up there 2 days later, and I came up, and I didn't even get in the door. He says, Mark. He says, I need to talk to you. I said, what do you want to talk about? He says, remember when a couple days ago we talked about, you know, knowing for sure? He says, I don't know for sure, but I sure want to. Amen. Can you help me? I said, I sure can. We went to the chapel area there in the hospital, and he bowed his head and accepted Christ. He was just somebody that needed help. He said, I don't have anybody to help me, but I'm looking. I need to know. I want to know. And there's a lot of people out there today that are calling. I need somebody. I don't understand. I need help. There's no man to help me. And they think it's hopeless. You say, well, how am I going to know that? You're not going to know unless you start asking people. Hey, do you know for sure if you'd have died today, you'd go to heaven? You'd be amazed at how many people say, you know what? I don't know. Been thinking about it. Do you know? And you're able to share with them the gospel. You're not going to know unless you ask them. You say, oh, I'm scared. What if they ask me a question I can't answer? Well, then just tell them, hey, you know what? That's a good question. Let me pray about that and look at the scripture, and we can all look in the scripture and we'll find an answer for that, because every question there's an answer in the Word of God. I'll get back to you. You don't have to be afraid of it. Satan wants you to be afraid of that. You wouldn't even start. Why? Because he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel to get into the hearts and lives of people. You can answer that call tonight from without. There's a lot of people. You just need to get out and start telling people of Jesus Christ. And lastly, you can answer the call from within. Psalms 142:4, if you don't need to go there, David, he was in a very difficult situation, difficult time in his life, and he says, no man cares for my soul. Remember when he said that? You know what? There's a lot of people out there today that have a lot of problems, and their thoughts are, and their call is, no man cares for my soul. Nobody cares about me. I could die tomorrow and nobody would even care. There's a lot of people like that nowadays. And you know what? You can answer that call. You say, how am I going to know? Again, it's going to take you to come alongside and say, hey, can I help you with that? Hey, let me carry that for you. Over in Ukraine, that's one of the corruption is so bad and thievery and stuff, is that when you say, let me help you, they think helping is like, I'm going to take this from you. And so when you see a grandma, and they're strong. I mean, they'll take bags of potatoes and they'll throw that on their back, and they'll be walking with that huge bag of potatoes to the tramvai or the electric train, and they'll get on there and they'll put it down, and you go up and they say, hey, let me grab that for you. And they're like, no, I don't want anything. I'm not going to take it. I just want to help you. And they said, you know what? I'm all alone and nobody helps me and nobody cares about me. And I said, you know what? I care about you. Let me help you. And as we're walking, they said, why are you doing this? I said, because there's somebody else that cares about you too. And so many opportunities to share the gospel. See, it just takes you caring for people. Because you don't know what's inside of their hearts. And there's a lot of people that said, nobody cares about me. And you can show that care. Remember the story of the second mile? Go on the second mile. You know why that is so important? Because the first mile was required. Everybody had to do it. The Roman soldier said, carry my equipment. You had to carry it for a mile. It was a law. You could get punished for that. But the second mile, you didn't have to. But when you did, that's when it all began. Hey, why are you doing this? You don't have to do this. I know, but I want to. Why do you want to? You just care for people. You just care for people. And God uses that, and you're able to reach a people that said, nobody cares about me. No, there's somebody that cares about me. And I pray that this church would be in this community. People would know, you know what? There's a church that cares about people. Those prayer lists, I pray that we wouldn't just pray, but we would then say, Lord, how can I be a help to those people with cancer and those special needs, and look for opportunities. Don't just pray for them and say, okay, I'm done with that. Or, okay, I'm okay with it. No, Lord, I'm going to pray for those, and then, Lord, use me. I want to be a help to reach a need so those people know there's somebody who cares. You can answer the call tonight from above, from below, from without, and that call from within. No man cares about me. You can care. And would we do that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this church. Lord, they are a great testimony to others and to me. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to be more like thee. Lord, we look at your life. Wherever you went, you were caring for people. Nobody that ever came close And nobody that ever even knew you could say, oh, he doesn't care about people. No, they all knew that you did. Because you cared. You showed you cared. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, every one of us here tonight. I don't know the hearts of you, the people here, but I know you do. You know how we live. You know what our life is about. And oh, I pray that it would be about the mission. Because the time is short, the work is great, and we need more soldiers. We need more sowers. The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Lord, we need more people to get involved in the ministry. The ministry of caring for people and sharing the good news. And Lord, we all can do that. Lord, there's a call from above tonight. You've told us, every one of us, oh, you're not willing that any should perish. Help us to answer that call tonight. There's also a call from below. There's people crying tonight that somebody would tell their loved one, and that loved one is the one that lives right next to us or works with us or is a friend of ours. Help us to answer that call this week. Lord, would you lay some soul upon our heart and would you win that soul through me? Lord, there's a lot of hurting people out there. And Lord, I pray you'd use us to care for them and, Lord, be able to share with them there's somebody even more great and that loves them even more than we do and cares about them more than we do, and that is you. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts. Lord, pray you work in the invitation. Lord, if maybe some of us need to get back to fulfilling the mission. Life has been all about me and what I want and forgotten about the mission and pleasing you. Speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play. We're not going to be long. If you, Lord has spoken to your heart about answering the call from above, from below, from without, and from within. Been making excuses, been saying, I can't afford that, can't do that. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, Lord, from now on, would you use me? I don't want you to work in spite of me. I want to work with you. Would you speak to me and show me how I can care and help and reach out to people? Maybe you need to come and pray, Lord, would you lay some soul upon my heart?